Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Screen.
Everyone participating in the production of Sci-Fi and Squeam would like to wish our listeners and all of our contributors and guests this year an especially joyous Christmas and an ecstatic new year. We can't wait to be spending more time with you in 2013. Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho!
Yes, wow. Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, and it's ho ho ho. This is Christmas Day, in case you didn't know. I don't know where you've been. We have a couple of awesome guests in the studio.
Hello,
they managed to get in here, which is wonderful.
Awesome.
Dean Curry,
hello.
Welcome.
Hello, thank you very much.
Great. And of course, Nave Stones.
Merry Geeksmas, everyone.
Geeksmas. Yeah, because we miss Festivus. That's actually on the 23rd of December, so...
Is it?
Yeah,
apparently. It's confusing, isn't it?
It's too many things going on.
Yeah.
Let's just go with Geeksmas.
Geeksmas. Right. He's trying to channel it forward. we can't let him down.
Yeah.
So, right. Dean Curry, of course, Sci-Fi Podcast... And watch a podcast.
Watch a podcast.
Any
I'm a
others?
Podcast whore.
The podcast king is in the building.
I get around.
And Nave Stones, you are also a watcher.
The watcher podcast. Yeah, the puppet master, as they call
him.
He
is the puppet master. Yeah.
Ah,
pulling our strings.
I pull all the strings.
Right. Sounds ominous.
It's a heavy load to bear, but someone's got to do it.
Oh, that was Snoopy versus the Red Baron, that track. I hope that brought back some memories of, well, good ones.
I loved that. That was so great.
A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
Because we're one of the few shows that having a non-denominational Christmas, are we?
Yeah.
Non-commercial something.
Isn't that why we're calling it Geeksmas? So,
yeah.
You're just going to try. You're going to keep trying to push that forward, aren't
I will
you?
Push it forward.
Cool. And, of course, we're going to be playing Carrie Fisher a bit later on, shortly, actually, with Star Wars, the holiday special theme, Christmas theme.
Get ready for that one.
I've only recently seen some of the clips from that, and I thought, yes. Oh, my God.
It exists.
It does.
Somewhere.
It's terrifying. I heard about it, but when you actually look at it on YouTube, you go... Oh my!
It's better than
God.
You thought.
Yeah.
We mentioned it on the on the Watch podcast this week, mm-hmm. and I love it. I absolutely love that. It just brings back so many memories. And Dean pretty much crucified me for watching it and knowing it off by heart, pretty much.
Well, that's an Easter thing.
Yeah,
crucifixions.
We can't get it confused, can we?
Yes.
No. So happy Easter bunnies. I mean, happy Easter bunny Christmases to everyone. If you have a favorite Geekmas. Or you're having a Geekmas right now, perhaps you'd like to let us know. You can SMS us. What is Christmas all about for you guys, or Geekmas in particular?
So much food is pretty much what's it about for me. So much food, having no time to do anything, and always being let down by my presence.
By your presence of being somewhere?
Well,
I mean by the presence.
Not let down, I take it back. Not let down, but you know when you're just like, oh, that's not original.
Did you get any geeky stuff, though?
Well,
or give any
they
geeky
were.
Stuff?
They were. I got Superman pajamas.
Ooh.
And they are great and they're cute. It's just.
I haven't seen the photos
at
yet.
At the age of 34, you really. How many times can you explain to your auntie, I don't wear anything to bed?
Except now, Superman PJs.
It'll drive me crazy. Maybe in winter. We don't know. And I got. So everyone went with the geek theme. I got a little Captain America bobblehead and a Star Wars t-shirt that is a size medium, which is the best compliment I had, but obviously I'm going to need to take that back.
Oh, maybe you could frame it. I don't know. Is it still on the wrapper?
It is, but I'll be able to. It's all fine. It's just, I'm not a medium. It's time for me to let that go.
Let it go. Nave, did you get any geek delights?
Oh, I got a fabulous, which I'm sporting tonight, my Adventure Time T-shirt. So
yes, it's very dashing.
Yes, it is, and lots of fun too. So which is very much me. But I got a fabulous gift from Dean, which was a Fantastic Four omnibus, which actually features a character called the Puppet Master. So
you can never go wrong with the gift of comics.
There's a hint there.
Yeah, there is a hint there.
you can never go wrong with the gift of comics. I'm a firm believer.
Yes.
Give the gift to a geek that lasts forever.
Exactly.
A comic.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yes, but it's been a fabulous day. You know, food, fun and family is the three F's.
This is true. Right. And Uno, a lot of it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw
really?
That. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. We had a little Uno marathon. It was really fun. Red wine, Italian people and Uno.
It looked
great.
Aggressive.
It got so aggressive. We were like yelling at the cards. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
We've done Yahtzee before. Yahtzee?
Ooh.
No? You don't
Yahtzee,
know that one?
I do know Yahtzee. It's just Yahtzee, I feel like you can
and
only
Star
hold
Wars
out
trivia.
10 yeah, minutes. Star Wars trivia would be fantastic.
Well, that could be controversial.
Ooh,
that causes
would be
a lot
great.
Of debate. Who shot first? Greedo!
Was it a trap?
That's not true.
True or false?
These are not the droids you're looking for. All right, so yes, I think in a moment we will listen to see what Carrie Fisher sounded like back in 1977, Christmas or holiday season as it is in the US. And
well, they're having it right now.
They are. So they're just
good morning
waking up
to any
it.
Of our
yes.
US or UK or overseas listeners.
Yes, Merry Geeksmas, US.
Merry Geeksmas. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hello, I'm Bruce Boxleitner, and you are listening to
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
She said it, Sci-Fi and Squeam.
On Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9. See, I can follow a script.
Oh, you're good. You're an actor. You're good. They get paid to do that. Well, I can't afford to pay them, but...
I do love his voice, though.
It's great.
Yeah.
And he just rambled on and on and on about so many other things not actually related to Tron at all. And it was like, I had to cut all of that out, unfortunately.
Oh,
but he it was is Tron.
Yeah, it was something about a film he made here in Victoria, of all things.
Mm.
But because he couldn't remember the name of it, it was very difficult.
Mm.
So it was like 25 years ago or something.
I still can't believe we just listened to Carrie Fisher singing.
Singing, I know. The Star Wars Holiday Special, which came out in 77. And Nafe was saying off air, Nafe Stones from Watch Podcast, that it wasn't actually Christmas Day.
No. It was actually called Life Day.
Life Day.
Which was a Wookiee Christmas, which
a very
Wookiee Christmas, which they changed to Life Day, so that it would be non-denominational and that everybody would embrace it in all ways.
Love it.
It's
clearly that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, the whole premise of the special is that Han and Chewie are risking life and limb as they always do with the Imperial Empire.
Yes,
to get back. Chewie back to his family for Life Day.
On Kaishyk.
That's right. And it actually showed in that the first appearance of Boba Fett is actually seen in
really?
In that. Yeah,
oh.
In a cartoon, which actually never has been released as a copy on its own.
Was that a musical as well?
No, unfortunately not. No, I'd love to see
Boba
that.
Boba Fett did the razzle dazzle.
Boba and the Fets.
The hot Boba Fett shoe shuffle.
Boba does the Dougie. Boba does a Dougie Dougie.
Boba does the Carbonite.
Yes.
Something like that. Okay, so we missed Festivus, which was on the 23rd. So Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9 with Dean and Nafe. And Christmas Day, it's Christmas Day night or Christmas Day day if
depending
you live
on where you
north
are.
Of the equator. Now, just thinking about the jolly man himself, that fun, jolly character called Santa Claus or Claus or Saint Nick, Father Christmas or just generally Santa, there's a lot of myths about that creature, folkloric myths that go back to the dark, dark times of, dark era, way back in time in the murky past. Do you guys know anything about this creature's murky past?
Wasn't Santa supposed to be a bit sort of, he was more of a nightmare than, you know, so telling children to behave themselves?
I know about the coal if you've been bad and fruit if you've been good.
An orange or something, if you're lucky.
An orange or something, which... I probably would have ended up with a lot of coal, but it would have been winter, so that would have helped.
Yeah, wasn't it? I just heard somewhere that it wasn't about Santa coming down the chimney. It was about if you were bad, then children would get stuffed up the chimney.
I'm surprised, actually. The idea of Santa Claus and weaved into horror, and I don't know why we don't see more of it. Maybe because it's just one of those things that people don't want to touch. But I love the idea of how terrifying Santa actually is.
Yeah.
You know, like there's all of this... this freedom around him, and it's the fact that, you know, it's this nice jolly man, sit on his lap, if you've been bad, I'll watch out. But it's actually quite scary when you think of it, like, this is a man that will screw you over if you've been a bad child, and...
Exactly.
Yeah, don't get on his naughty list.
No.
I reckon Stephen King, and it, that was where a part of It came from, maybe.
Oh, right, Pennywise, do you think?
Yeah.
Clowns, yeah, clowns do feature a lot in horror, but in more recent times, a Finnish film company brought out of a film 2 years ago now called Rare Export. And that was disturbing, and it's actually brought back the resurgence, or helped to bring back the look at the dark and demonic past of Grampus. Grampus, who is like a horned demon who would hang out with Santa, and some people say it is actually Santa. He is like a demonic creature that wears bloody... The reason his clothes are red is because of the blood. The
of
bloodiness
bad children.
Of bad children that he's attacked, who've been naughty with birch trees, with birch branches, whipping them. And yeah, I mean, in Holland, it's like if you're a bad child, you get a lump of coal. If you're a good child, you get some exotic fruit like an orange or a lemon. That's pretty traditionally.
So what you're saying is Santa's got a split personality. So what you're saying?
I love Santa's the idea that Santa is that, like, that terrifying, that the red is actually the blood of the children. I think
from
it's
the birching. From birching, yeah, which is, you know, it was a disciplinary thing. I don't think you're allowed to. It's probably totally illegal now.
Not in Australia.
and of course, Coke would highly disagree in the 1950s when they had
their Santa, you know, advertising.
When they gave him that full of jolly life and
the sozzled
red rosy cheeks. Yeah, those red rosy cheeks.
Yes, well, they needed to sell that sparkling beverage, didn't they? But no, it's quite interesting. Grampus, I think we put something on our Facebook page just showing the resurgence of festivals in places like Austria and Germany, showing these very demonic looking, not very pleasant looking Santas, Santa type creatures, but with like these, you know, these curly, nasty looking horns and sort of a beard that's more like a billy goat's gruffy part.
Well, when you think about it,
which is quite interesting.
It's a person who you children probably should avoid or should be scared of.
Terrorized. They used to terrorize children.
Used to terrorize children, and now it's just been watered down way too much.
On how to behave.
It's time to put the scared back into Christmas.
I'd like to see Guillermo del Toro do a film about it.
Because he did Pan's Labyrinth, of course, and that was pretty amazing.
And that's not scary enough.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
That should be scary enough. Yeah, so there's all these legends about Santa Claus and where he comes from, and he definitely got a Germanic background, and Odin, of course, the Scandinavian god and Germanic god, used to be represented as a gentle-looking man or with a beard and would give gifts to good children and take children away to hell if they've been bad. So, and Krampus has that aspect too.
I do love that idea.
Which is
like
quite scary.
Simple fear that if you're not a good child, you'll never be seen again. It's great.
Instead of, we'll just take your iPhone away.
Yeah. It's time for kids to learn these days. We used to walk in the snow and be dragged to hell by Santa.
And in Switzerland, he was known this quite... firm, not so jolly man as Schmaltzy. I like that, Schmaltzy.
Schmaltzy.
Also known as the Whipping Father.
Ooh.
Oh. Not very nice. Well. So he would actually abduct children. He was known to abduct them if they were also naughty, and they would disappear forever and administer broom bashings with brooms.
Who
I mean,
is this
very
man?
Violent,
I'm
very
really
horrific.
Curious. I'm really curious to see how these began. Was it just nightmarish tales and how we've twisted it into this nice little rosy-cheeked elf man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, things have changed.
It's quite interesting to look at the...
I mean, the elves were also known as not very pleasant creatures.
They were like imps. They were more like imps.
Again, they would steal children and take them to Krampus or Schmaltzy, obviously, to get a birching. So, yeah, they're kind of beast-like creatures too. And then he's sort of morphed into more human-like. And then now we have the jolly red man. you know, as we know him today.
We have a we have an Elf on the Shelf at
home. Elf on the Shelf.
An Elf on the Shelf, which was produced in the 50s, and they brought it back out. And the Elf sits on the shelf and watches the children.
I feel like you're about to do a Dr. Seuss. The Elf sits on the shelf.
No, it sits on the shelf or somewhere in the room and watches the children. And then every night it flies back to Santa and reports back.
Right.
But the freaky thing about it is that its eyes. Yeah, it's like Chucky. Wherever you look, it's watching you.
Ooh, it's I don't like that.
Well, then why do you have that hanging for your kids?
It's and cute. Right? Well, you know, it's torture. You know,
it's to keep them in line.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
But I mean, you know, it's all part of the fun of them flying away and coming back and being in a different place each day. But as an adult, when you look at it, it's terrifying. It's following you around the room.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Be a good kitty or
elf. Yeah. The Elf on the Shelf will get you.
Yeah. So Rare Exports, the Finland film I started off before I went on a tangent, that looks at the Krampus beast creature, early Santa Claus, and the elves are actually look like the Father Christmas that we would see in a mall or a shopping centre.
Oh.
So, they're totally mute and quite sinister. They're stealing children and putting them in sacks, and they're taking them to the Krampus god, which is in a big block of ice. And the more children that Krampus gets, the ice will melt and he will come back and destroy the earth.
And he only gets the bad
story
children,
idea.
Yeah?
Only the bad children?
Well, most of the children in the village, because there's not enough to go around. So it's,
I love that. I'm going to have to see this.
You have to see it. I've spoiled it for you, but make sure you see it.
It's on the list. It's anyway. On the list. Yes, we'll put it on the
list.
Yeah,
cool. All right. Now, do you have any favourites? Santa Claus movies.
I've become a really huge fan of the Doctor Who Christmas specials.
Okay.
That's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Yeah. I love how they've kind of reworked the little Christmas things and how whenever it's snowing, it's actually aliens being destroyed above our Earth and things like that. And
so it's space litter or space junk.
Yeah, it's always junk. And I just love the way they've really played with the kind of sensibility of it all. We have Sir Ian McKellen doing the voice of angry snowman.
Yes,
I've seen some of the pictures, images online about that. It looks very intriguing.
And we have tomorrow. I'm even more excited about the lesbian crime-fighting duo, which is a little bit more fun too. But favorite Santa films.
We talked about this week on our podcast, and you had a real hard time, didn't you, Dean?
Well, yeah. Look, I love My Love Actually.
I was thinking of horror, but yeah, you're right. That is quite horrific.
I know, I've gone into it. But it's hard with it all. Like, I find during Christmas time, I do watch a lot more. I'm just thinking of this past week, I've watched a lot more Walking Dead, reruns of Supernatural, especially season one when it was really, really horrific. I've watched a lot more horror, American Horror Story even, just because I'm sick and tired of seeing all this happy, happy joy around me and Christmas carols and things. And that's why I love the horror just kind of drags it all away.
What about Gremlins? I mean, that's got a Christmas theme too.
Gremlins, just because it's set at Christmas does not mean it has a Christmas theme.
Come
but they're so cute in their little red outfits.
I think, until
you throw water on them.
I think... Chime in here, Sonia. I think any film that's got Christmas in it, it could be technically a Christmas film, couldn't it?
Yes,
no.
But with Evil
Die
Santa?
Hard? Die Hard? Die Hard is probably the most
played a lot. I don't consider Die Hard to be a Christmas film. Well, I don't consider Gremlins to be a Christmas film.
Well, Black Christmas is another one that came out in the early 80s about a Santa Claus, well, a guy who dresses up as Santa Claus every year, obviously once a year, Christmas time, of course. But he becomes, has quite a sort of split personality thing starts to happen to him. He starts to think he's turning into Santa, but not a nice Santa. So, you know, running along that theme of...
I do love that.
There is bad Santa as well. The Santa Claus
when evil runs away. So,
yeah. Well, Santa is someone that should be feared, whether you're naughty or nice. It's this weird guy that comes into your house, can go in at any time, and leave stuff for you, like anything.
And drink your milk and take
exactly
your
like you know. But when you think about it, it's actually a story that we give a lot of liberty to, and it's something kids could actually be scared of.
Do you know?
So it's home invasion and abduction.
It's home invasion, really? Abduction, and stealing.
Well, and giving then you've got,
well, stealing your milk, lucky. Stealing and, your cookies.
And, oh, yeah.
And the reindeer poo on your roof.
And and I realised last night after watching the carols, Santa said, don't forget the rum. Now, he's about the only one who can actually drive drunk.
In a sleigh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the reindeers. Yeah.
He's going to pull him
They're
over.
They're completely sober.
Well, that's,
Well, we will discuss this a little bit further. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9.
Silent night, evil night. Starring Olivia Hussey. Saxon, if this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight. Silent Night, Evil Night, rated R.
Rated R, yes indeed. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9. That was the trailer from something called Silent Night, Evil Night, which came out in the 70s with Olivia Hussey and the awesome John Saxon and quite a bit of gruesome sort of like a Santa as a slasher.
That voice, that voiceover that was, made my skin crawl.
That was
actually.
A great voiceover.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
It's Sorry, on it's too night. Tight.
I don't know what they're talking about, but hey.
I assume his skin.
Go with it. Hey, we've had some messages too, actually. We've had a Merry Christmas from somebody, which is lovely. And we've also had a Happy Portlandia, which in Oregon. So that's nice.
From Andrea in
from
Portland.
Andrea. Fantastic.
Portland, Oregon.
And they're a Joy member. That's so cool. And Bad Santa is brilliant, apparently.
This is
that
true.
Message as well. And I think definitely Billy Bob Thornton, he's like a grumpy, nasty individual who really has no... He's very amoral.
Well, I do enjoy the movies that do turn that on its head. Like, I just need a bit more of that in my life at Christmas
time. I don't think anybody else could have played a better Bad Santa than Billy Bob Thornton either.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, made for the role.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's also something called Tomten, which I've discovered online. It's another legend in Germany's Black Forest, pre-Christianity, so it must be pagan, I guess. A legend about these little creatures called Tomtens, who were little evil dwarf-like creatures wearing the colour of red, which is the colour of blood, to signify that they would do nasty things, and they would abduct travellers and beat them. So there you go.
Sounds
really
like,
nasty.
Sounds like a Wolf Creek Christmas, really, doesn't yeah. it?
Have a very Wolf Creek Christmas.
Watch out for those little evil dwarf-like creatures. Mm. He was also Tomten was also known, well, they had a leader called Nacht Rupert, or Night Rupert. Not Rupert the Bear. And they would come into villages with his little group or army of Tomtens and would basically peer into windows. And if anybody caught them, you know, being watching, they would they would be abducted. But if they were good.
Any child or anyone?
Anyone who saw them. So
if an adult saw
is
them.
That where Peeping Tom comes from, I wonder?
Oh,
Peeping Tomten.
Maybe.
Could be. Also, it seems that they were known to leave gifts if you were exceptionally good. Well, that couldn't have been very often, so it's emphasised here, exceptionally good.
I think I would be exceptionally good all the time.
I think I would just be in trouble.
But once it became a Christianised area, the Black Forest, Tomten and their leader, Nacht Rupert, kind of disappeared or morphed into becoming friendly elves and a nice, jolly gentleman with a beard. So
damn
there you
religion,
go.
Religion,
damn that.
Everything.
Saint Nick, eh? He always gets a good. He gets a good
rap.
Rap. That's the word I was looking for. Rap.
I like the new Santa much
the
better.
The new Santa. The
There's
Santa.
A new Santa.
Well, as opposed to the child stealing. Whip.
Birch beating. Nasty one.
Yeah. It's more the S&M Santa, I think.
Yeah. They should change the colour then, if it's red, because that's got, you know, connections to the past when they were quite violent.
But what colour could Santa be, really?
Pink.
Green.
No.
Green.
Diluted
blue.
Red.
Blue.
You're all crazy.
It's calming. Blue's calming, isn't it?
Isn't it? Well, I know they use pink in institutions.
He'd be an avatar.
A certain shade of pink.
Santa, wouldn't he, if he was blue?
You never know. An avatar Santa.
Yeah.
How would he ride those reindeer?
Oh, dear. All right. Well, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Next, we're going to talk about 2012, some of our favourite shows, some of our favourite films. Are you guys ready for that?
Bring it on.
Looking at television, I think, maybe first. We'll kick that off. Why not? So, stay tuned.
It's me, Mario. Wahoo!
Yes, Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Now, we've got the nice Christmas music, but just then we had American Horror Story, the dubstep version of the theme for season one.
What a great... That was fantastic. Yeah.
That was a bit spooky. But keeping with the theme, we've got Dean Akuri, Spooky Dean... Well, Devilish Dean from Guy-Fi Podcast and Watcher
yes,
Podcast.
Yes, Podcast Hall.
That's it. Yeah. And Nafe Stones from Watcher Podcast as well. Now, Nafe is a big fan of something called American Horror Story, which is one of the big TV series, I reckon.
It's
massive,
really fantastic.
2012.
Yeah, it's really sort of come leaps and bounds. I mean, when it first came out, not a lot of people knew about it. And it just grew.
And everyone really associated it with the guy from Glee who actually... produces it.
Yeah.
I think everyone had a bit of a fear about it, really. But
well, the other writer is from Nip Tuck, so maybe that kind of evens it out a bit.
Yeah. Definitely Jekyll and Hyde then, isn't it?
Well, it has really raised the bar in the way it actually shows how horror can be produced on television and produced well and work
exactly.
as a medium, because quite frankly, it's really not at the moment. A lot of things are just...
when I first heard about it, I just thought... No one can do it. No one can pull it off and make it really interesting and absorbing. And
work in the constraints that they
yes.
have.
Yeah.
But it's
well.
Worked.
But
it's
it has worked.
And they do it really well.
And it's in season two now, which is set in the asylum.
Well, you were just telling us about the latest Christmas episode.
It's a great... It's called Unholy Night.
Now, of course, spoilers.
No spoilers. I can say that there's no spoilers. It's about a murderous Santa that wreaks havoc on Briar Cliff, which is the insane asylum which the show is set around. In the beginning, it shows this murderer in a home acting out his Santa, his normal Santa routine. But then it all goes awry.
Or awry,
let's all call it off. But and then it shows years later him institutionalising Briar Cliff, and he's allowed out for Christmas, and everything goes a little bit over the top,
a little bit awry
as well. It's a fantastic episode, and they classified it as a Christmas special. So,
oh my God. Okay.
We've got the Christmas tree, and we've got the carols, and we've got our murderous Santa in the actual Santa suit. So
wow.
So don't mess with this Santa. That is for certain.
I just hate that I'm behind on the show, so I need to actually catch up.
Yeah,
I've watched the first episode of this second season, and I just love the way they're just pushing the boundaries of what and really going back to what horror is, as opposed to just skimming the surface like so many shows do and go, horror is this one little thing, when actually there is the genre of horror has so much to it, and they're executing it brilliantly.
I liken this to very classic horror too. It's not gore.
It's not gore factor. No.
You know, it's going almost back into that Hammer horror.
It's completely chilling.
It's gothic. It's the American gothic too, the tradition of Edgar Allan Poe and writers like that, and who did The Raven and so forth. I mean, I think they're doing an amazing.
Yeah.
But if you haven't checked it out, then definitely check out American Horror Story. It's a great TV series.
And if you haven't, go back through the first season, and if you struggle a little bit, it's well worth it.
Yes.
And if you haven't been seeing it, you need to see it just for two words only. Well, a name. Jessica Lange.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously. She's amazing.
She makes it. Zing.
She makes
Isn't
it.
Isn't she? It's I a, mean, she, whoa. Yeah.
She's so good, and she just heightens everything. Like, it's terrifying. Everything that she does, she'll just be in a scene, and you go, okay, I'm just going to sit over here.
She's great in the Santa special.
Really?
In that Christmas special.
Okay, I'm going to have to catch
up. Did you say Santa special?
Santa special in the Christmas special. She does go up against the Santa. That's the only spoiler I'm going to give.
It's a southern accent.
Bring
it's
it
just
on.
Amazing.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Fantastic. That was the Game of Thrones theme from season one and season two, of course. It's now into season three.
But they're splitting season the third three. Book into two seasons. Oh. So three and four will be the third book. Because there's just too much of a story to tell.
Look, it's amazing. Right from the credits, which I believe won some Emmys for the graphic designs and so forth. Just stupendous, draws you in, fabulous fantasy meets medieval.
Beautiful. I think it meets everything.
Great casting. Yeah. Really fantastic. Good casting. Yeah.
Yeah. I know someone who's actually read those massive books, those A to K, L to Z size books, and they said that the producers have got it spot on. So if you've read the books...
Well, he is one of the producers, the writer, and I believe he was out here in 2010. Some friends of mine actually got to meet him just before the series got...
Greenland.
Released on television, so he was approachable. Now it's very hard to get near him, of course. It's taken such a long time, and it's such a brilliant.
It's done
brilliant
really
concept.
Well. Like they really tell the story well. The characters are done brilliant. Like a very good cast,
and I also think that the period that they're setting it in. I mean, we know that it's not Earth, but at the same time, they're really sort of well.
But it's not. It could be, but of course it's not.
That's right.
I mean, it looks at, like medieval ideas and pre-Christian ideas. And that is also refreshing that there isn't any Christianity in it because it's not. It's fantasy.
I mean, sure, you've got dragons and you've got a witch woman and that's pregnant and things like that. But
And we've also, you know, winter is coming.
Yes.
So, I know.
The winter zombies.
That is such...
Do you know what I loved about the end of season two? Seeing that them walking across the land was the zombie horse.
Spoilers.
Zombie horse. Because it's one of those things I always think about when it comes to zombies is why would they just infect the people? Wouldn't they infect the animals
because,
as well?
No, because I guess a lot of the diseases that are quite common to us can't be transferred to other species into species stuff.
If it's from a bite...
Except scabies and rabies.
If it's from a bite, you get bit by a zombie, you get turned into a zombie. Mm-hmm. So if it's just from a bite, then if they bite a bird, the bird becomes a zombie.
I don't know.
So you're saying equine zombie flu is what you're saying?
Well,
You're messing with the tropes, but hey, why not?
If you know about zombies, let us know because it's something that is always... confused me. Messages.
Yeah. We've had a message from Claudia. Thanks so much, Claudia, for contacting us. She says, hi, guys. I just realised about this show, Sci-Fi and Scream.
Welcome.
And is very excited about it. Love horror. Good job and thank you for your efforts. Liked American Horror Story, which we talked about just a minute ago. Preferred The Walking Dead. So good. Okay. The Walking Dead, another big show for 2012 on our TV.
Have to be your favourite, wouldn't it, Dean?
It is great. I wouldn't say it's my favourite, though. It's one of those shows that I've struggled with a little bit. I
was being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if everyone else in the listening out there in the worldwide world just got that. It's just, there's something about it that I loved where it's very desolate and these people are just trying to get by and somehow in the later season we've jumped through winter and we're months ahead and keeping in mind I have been told I've watched just up before things get really, really good. But this is where I have a problem with The Walking Dead. When things get really, really good, there's those three episodes that are absolutely amazing, and then there's the rest of the episodes that we're just trying to get through. And I just wish they'd play with the tension a little bit more because, and the one thing that really irritates me about The Walking Dead is they change the idea of what the zombies are depending on.
Interesting.
Like,
theory.
It's a great, don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic show. I absolutely love The Walking Dead. I think it's great. I love the comic. I think it's being done really well on television. But they changed the idea of what the zombies are to facilitate the storyline. In the first episode of the entire series, we had the African-American zombie mother who was going to her front door of her house and looking in the peephole and trying to see who was in there and turning the door handle.
That's right.
So we had a very self-aware zombie that clearly remembered their past or something about it. But that wasn't something that we get in any other zombies. Then in season two, we see the zombies are just wild animals need to be put down. They're dumb.
At the
end of season two, there is this mass of them, and they are just giant lemmings to the... A herd is good. A herd of them. And to the point that when they, you know, you've got other times where zombies will climb over a fence to come and get you, or jump and be very dexterous. But then when there's a group of them who have a bit of wood in front of them, they just keep piling onto the wood until the wood actually falls over. And then in season three, we have a scene where one of the characters gets bitten, their leg bitten by a zombie. And you could tell by the framing of the shot, clearly that zombie wasn't a dead person just lying there. But the zombie was playing dead and then bit him. And it's one of these things that I'm wondering whether...
Stealthy zombies?
They have malicious intent, but they're not zombies.
But and this is... Well, this
they're
is
walkers,
the,
are they not?
And well, they call them walkers. They're zombies. Everyone has different names for them. But the thing that I find really interesting is I really want to push the producers of that show now to identify the change in the zombies, because they have really just... Or the
well,
walkers.
Well, just to catch you on that, basically we have different writers and it is occurring... which maybe is the weakness or the strength or the diversity of the show. Frank Darabont has left, of course.
Yes.
He has an overseen sort of production or producer's role, so his influence is still there. And who has been announced has also left quite recently is, I believe, Metzara, is it?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're going to move on to another one. There is a lot of controversy around The Walking Dead. You know, the backstory of it and lots of creative differences. So, I mean, you know,
look, it
Dean's spot on.
It brings something really good together. This is the thing. I don't mind that, especially, you know, at the end of the day, if you can bring these different people in, it's facilitating the story. They've already got the bones of what they're going to be working off, which is the comic.
Yeah, so Robert Kirkman. So, yeah, Glenn Metzara has announced only like 2 or 3 days ago that he is leaving the show as the main writer for that. But he's going to work on some other projects, hopefully, and it's a bit sad, I guess, or is it not? I really look. We're looking at so many awesome contributor writers. I don't think we need to worry, but they all have their own particular style.
I know, but I just think it's one of those things that where they've changed the writers have changed the elements of what the zombies have needed to do to facilitate a story, and that my issue with that then becomes it's suspending my belief in relation to the characters, because I get the zombies in the comic. It's very clear. But with this, it really just does make it really frustrating, because if they can now play dead, then everyone needs to keep killing them over and over again in case they're not dead.
We did have a hang. We both did have a hang up with season two, and that was because of
they all carried the infection as well.
Which is an interesting twist.
We see a main character who, you know.
Yeah.
Presumably, we think he's dead, but in fact, the infection must be in everybody. So
yeah, well,
it's dormant.
It was a big reveal. It was a big
reveal. And then it's activated or triggered by the response of death.
Yeah. But season three has been a far more superior season overall three, I think. I think there's been a no holds bar. It's been very quick. We've had very little slow times.
Yeah.
It hasn't been like two, which our good friend Billy quoted very well, which was they're talking about talking, which I think's spot.
But I didn't mind that occurred. I just think there's something about the more we find more survivors, there's something about the tension in the world now and how everything is different. And I don't mind that, but I'm not watching it feeling like everything is different. And that's what's not sitting well with me.
Well, they need to take it up a notch, like 28 Days Later, where it's everybody fighting for themselves.
Well,
really,
I don't necessarily need it to be an entire threat. There's something about... Everyone's a little too trusting of everyone else. And that's what I liked about the beginning of season three, where everyone was suddenly, I don't trust anyone anymore. And you can't trust anybody because you just don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, when there's fewer people, you're going to trust more. When there's more people, I think, I would assume you would trust less because there's more, you know, politics going on.
And I just feel like I think that element is definitely there. I just feel like the tension just needs to be twisted. Not much. The knife that is the tension of that show just needs to be turned a little bit more to remind the viewer. Just to remind the viewer.
Do you think you'd associate, Dean, yourself with the Michonne character? Do you think you're that type of character where you just don't really trust everybody and you've got your wits about yourself? Is that what
you... But even in like you've just described her really brilliantly, but that doesn't travel through
in her
role in the television show. And that's one of my issues where I go, I'm literally watching her going, she's not trusting. Is she trusting? Something's not resonating, and it just needs a little bit more of a push. It's a brilliant show. I'm not
push or
it.
A plunge. Well, what do people think? Let us know. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Jen Barker,
and I'm Sylvia Barker, and we're the Twisted Twins,
and I'm Little Miss Risk,
and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam wishing you as well a horrific happy festivities, because we do like horror and stuff like that. So we've had a look
horror
tonight.
Horror is our religion.
Horror. And we've looked tonight at stuff like, for example, bad evil Santas, Krampus, Tomtin and his bad friend Nacht Roppert.
You could call it a new phrase. We could call it Creepsmas.
Creepsmas.
Ooh, I like
instead
Creepsmas.
Of Geeksmas.
I like Creepsmas. Creepsmas is good.
Yeah, I know we took till the end of the show, but...
Yeah. Hey. Can't be everything to everyone. And of course we looked at some of the great TV shows in genre for 2012. Let's hope that continues for next year.
Absolutely.
I'm sure the fans will
throw some new ones in there.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. Room, what was it? 666 didn't make
no,
it?
No, that didn't make it, and I understand
yeah.
why.
Okay.
Hannibal, the TV show, look out for.
Yeah, that's one.
That'll be one.
When's The Shield coming out, TV?
Not sure.
Is it 2013 or 14?
Yeah, it's 13. It's scheduled.
It
yeah, it's scheduled for May, so.
Ooh. Yes, just in time for my birthday.
Get excited.
Get excited. So thanks again for coming in, Dina Curry from Guy-Fi Podcast and Watcher Podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to always be here.
Yeah, facebook.com/watcherpodcast.
And with Nave Stones as well.
And what's yours, Dean, for Guy-Fi?
Facebook.com/Guy-Fi.
Easy to do. Just put it in your little, searchy bar thing and... Yeah. Press enter.
Always something exciting going on.
I know, we're always doing about something. And thank you for having us on.
Yes. It's been great having you on for the year. Well, not for the whole year, but throughout the year.
We love being a regular.
I always enjoy popping in and having a
you
chat.
Do.
There's always plenty to talk about on
Sci-Fi. There
is, and
we're always running out of time again. We didn't even get into some of the films that were out there.
Oh, well.
That's cool.
Better luck next
time. So, yes, we will be on air again next week. It is 2013. New Year's Day evening we'll be on. So it's a 2-hour show from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. So... Good night.
Good night. Be safe, everyone.
Watch out for
Be
those
sensible.
Red men.
And Merry Creepsmas.
In red
Merry
suits.
Creepsmas.
Merry Creepsmas to everyone. Thanks for listening and good evening.
See you next year.
Bye.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.